I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake your asses up. Absolute Cintron on the overnight. Number to join 888-808-1019. Got my fellow Met fan Fleas behind the glass. Yes, I was at the game. So were about 750 other people. And we got to see a win. It wasn't pleasant out. It was actually warmer sitting in the seat than going out to get something to eat. Something to drink. Go to the bathroom. And it was dog in the park day at Citi Field. Lots of cute dogs. I don't think Gizmo could deal with that in April. But it was dog in the park day as well. So that added a little fun to the mix. In a game that started out well for the Mets. They had the bases loaded, only captured one run. But they had a 2-0 lead, and then it was silence for the rest of the game. For a good portion of the game for the Mets. Freddy Peralta couldn't get through five. He's supposed to be our ace. That's a little concerning to me. I know it's only April, but if you want ace money, you got to give me six innings. I don't care who you are. I can't stand this five-inning crap. It bothers me. As a fan who grew up seeing Ron Darling throw 152 pitches in one game and 138 pitches in the next game, like it was nothing, that stuff bothers me. You're looking for an eight-year deal, Freddy Peralta. 8 years. Not going to happen with the Mets. But in yesterday's game, as much as we kill Carlos Mendoza, he pushed every right button. And shout out to my guy, Anthony Rivera, sober to Shea, because I didn't know why Mendy didn't give Peralta another guy. Because you're at the game, you don't see this stuff, and where we were sitting, you know, the TV's not there. When you sit in the bougie seats down low, you get to see the TVs and the replays and all that stuff. So when I tweeted out, why not give Freddy Peralta one more batter? He got back to me and said that Mendy asked him if he was okay, and he said one more. And then that's what happened. Hit the guy. He's out the game. 4 2/3. Brazoban comes in and has nothing. Gives it up. And the Mets showing some bad fundies as well. A bloop hit by Nolan Arenado. Lindor and Simeon run out to the outfield, try to get it. Vientos doesn't cover second and cover their asses. Doesn't happen. So Arenado gets the second on the play. But Mendoza pushed every right button. The one that got me, because again, I don't know what's going on. I don't have the radio on. I'm not listening to the game while I'm at the game, which I'm going to start doing. So there's no fog for me when I'm at these games. I have one earbud in next time I'm at the game listening to Howie while I'm watching the game live. So I know what the hell's going on. When a guy's out at the game, what's going on? Jerry Young pitch hits for Mark Vientos, who's been scorching hot. So again, I reach out to my guy, Anthony Rivera, sober to Shea, and I said, hey, is Vientos hurt? Like, we're scrambling, looking on social media, did something happen? Because there was a couple of bad throws by Bichette and Lindor, which Vientos bailed him out. Bailed him out. And I'll get it to Bichette at third base in a minute. Bailed him out. So kudos to Mark Vientos with the scoops. But there was the one that Lindor threw to him, and it took him a while to get up. It looked like he tweaked something. So when Jerry Young's pitch hitting for him, I thought maybe he was hurt. And he tells me, Anthony tells me, no, Mendy's doing the lefty-righty thing. Now you're like, why is he going to pinch it for somebody who's been just scorching hot? just killing the ball. Well, it worked out because Jarry Young hits a shot, brings in the tying run, and the Mets stay in the game. Devin Williams comes in, ninth inning, Yankee scraps, couple guys on, he gets it done. Luke Weaver comes in, throwing gas, gets it done. Yankee scraps. And then a guy who just got called up because of the Juan Soto injury, Ronnie Mauricio, who I've always been high on and just hasn't gotten the everyday opportunity, or when he has, it's just bad luck, bad timing. Like last year, he got rushed up. He was not ready, but he got rushed up because of what was going on with this Met roster. Cool. Mauricio comes in, first two pitches, swings at and misses versus Paul Sewald, our favorite former Met reliever. Pitches above his eyes. And I tell, you know, I tell Lewis, I said, hey, this is what's going to happen. They're going to throw another one above his eyes. And he hits a rocket to right field. Game over. And I could not be happier for that kid. Mets win in extra innings. Their fourth extra inning game of the season. They're 2-2. 2-2 in the season. I've seen both walk-offs at home, the Luis Robert Jr. and now Mauricio. Both, what both of those wins had in common, it was brick at Citi Field. But it makes it even better when you sit through there and you're freezing your ass off, or as they say across the pond, your arse off, toes are cold, which is the first thing to go for me. It's the toes. Always the first thing. Even when I played football and football leagues, the toes, even with the toe warmers. It's always the toes that go first. But when the team pulls it out in dramatic fashion, when they look dead after the second inning offensively, that's special. And it makes it worth it. It makes it worth it as a fan when you sit through there. Now, my worst nightmare was before I even got there, because again, I worked, did the show yesterday, 2 to 5, went to the hotel, got a quick nap in, then did 7 to 12 something, so I was able to get out of there, go home, take a nap, and then hit the Citi Field. I said, I hope this game doesn't go to extra innings. Whoops! Extra innings! But the Mets pull it out. 4-3. Freddie Peralta, again, 4 2/3. Braz Zubon, you know, brought in all of Freddie Peralta's runs, didn't get it done. Luis Garcia was solid. That's a guy who got off to a slow start, solid. Took a rocket off his wrist, a non-pitching hand. Brooks Raley comes in, 2 Ks. Devin Williams and Luke Weaver, the Met bullpen. After Braz Zubon, shut it down. Mets win 4-3. Now, here's a couple things I have issues with when it comes to the Mets. Brett Beatty's an adventure in right field. An adventure. Now, you can say, well, it's the wind. He's an adventure. And then he threw the ball into the infield, which to no one. And the runners advanced. Forgot what inning it was. Threw the ball to no one.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Brett Beatty in right field is an adventure for me. Let's go to third base with Bo Bichette. Anytime the ball's hit to him, I'm nervous, whether it's fielding or when he throws the ball. He makes J.D. Davis look like Brooks Robinson. Remember J.D. Davis? He was an adventure throwing the ball. Bo Bichette at third base is an adventure. And I don't mean it in a good way. Because you don't know what you're going to get when the ball's hit to him. That's a problem. Especially when David Stearns is preaching run prevention. That's a problem. Now, I love the player. Always admired him from afar in Toronto. A gamer. You know, he's got six RBIs this season. He's batting 200, but he's got six RBIs. I think he'll be fine offensively. But defensively, makes me very, very nervous at third base. Especially when you've been preaching run prevention. And again, I think that when it's all said and done, Semien will be playing third. Bichette will be playing second. Or Beatty will be playing third. Semien stays at second. Bichette does some DHing. They'll figure it out. They have to figure it out. Because Bo Bichette, unless all of a sudden he becomes Mike Schmidt at third, Scott Rowland at third, it's going to be a problem all season. It was one play where the ball was hit to him. And his body was all like out of place. And the throws, you're nervous when he throws the ball. Love the player, but again, he's an adventure at third base. And then there's Carson Benge, who's got more diamonds around his neck than his average. His average is, what, 80-something? And he's got like 100-something diamonds around his neck? Take it easy, kid. He looks lost for the Mets. And it's concerning. Bat under 100. Now, I know he just got here, and he's going to have all this time until Juan Soto gets back to get this right, to get himself right. And the team's winning, four in a row, winning streak. Yeah, welcome back aboard the bandwagon. All the fake fans that jumped off the ship. Seven games into the season. You frauds. Luis Robert Jr. 10 walks this year. Already, tied with Lindor. Which means he's tied for the National League lead in walks. No one saw that coming. With Luis Robert Jr. In fact, for all the Mets fans that have been obsessed with the former Mets all offseason and then into this season as well, remember how they're going to replace the offense? Or I'll make it better. How are they going to replace the offense that Pete Alonso had and Brandon Nimmo? And I tried to tell you guys how it was going to happen. Well, here it is. Pete Alonso in Baltimore, who fans want him gone already. I feel for Pete, but that's what you signed up for. 186 average, one homer, three RBIs, 550 OPS, 13 Ks. 13 Ks. One homer right now to start the season. Jeff McNeil, who had a couple hits versus the Yankees. 231, zero homers, one RBI, an OPS of 564, 9 Ks. And Brandon Nimmo's got off to a scorching start. 326, one homer, four RBIs, 873 OPS, 10 Ks. That totals two homers and eight RBIs and 23 carry to one. 31 Ks. 32 Ks for those three guys combined. Now, let's go to the four guys that replaced those three. Because that was my point. The four will outdo the three. Bichette, 200, no homers, six RBIs. OPS, 466, 13 Ks. The Ks are concerning to me because that's never been him. It's never been him. I just think he's trying too hard, and he admitted it early in the season, manned up, and he owned it. And I respect him for that. Not many guys would do that. Semien, who was batting 50 as well. Hello, Ryan McMahon. Semien, 231, one homer, six RBIs. 670 OPS, 11 Ks. Polanco. Dealing with an Achilles tendonitis. 222, and he's had some big hits. He had a hit today. Tyrone Taylor pinched ran for him. That run ended up scoring. 222, zero homers, one RBI, 623 OPS, 6 Ks. Luis Robert Jr., 313, one homer, six RBIs, 882 OPS, 7 Ks, 10 walks. That's 19 RBIs. For those players. And you can say, well, that's 4-on-3. Okay, let's take out Polanco as the one RBI. That's 18 RBIs for three plays compared to Nimmo, McNeil, and Alonso. Now, I think Pete Alonso will get it going eventually, but I could see him having an average like he did in 2024, where he bet on himself, and he's putting all that pressure on himself. It doesn't help that the fan base is not supporting him. At least here for the Mets, we supported him when he struggled. We supported him. We always had Pete's back. Always. Oh, yeah, and the two home runs as well for those guys. So far, so good when it comes to the RBIs department. They've pretty much tripled the other guys that are not here that were on the team last season. And you look at Brandon Sproat. His ERA is 60. He's been bad for the Brewers. Chet Williams batting a .140. The offense will be fine for the Mets. It was brick out there. And this is coming from somebody who sat in cold-ass football games. Cold. But the difference between sitting at a baseball game and a football game, for the numbskulls out there, is that a football game, usually, especially a big game, you're usually yelling, screaming, you got your hand warmers, your toe warmers, the place is packed, unless it's a Jet game in November, the place is packed, everybody's going crazy, you're yelling and screaming every play, especially when your team's on defense, so your blood's going the whole time, you're not just sitting there, and in baseball, you're just sitting there, hoping something happens, waiting for something to happen. So I'm glad the Mets moved the game to 4 o'clock. I got to go to the game. I'm dead tired. But I got to go to the game, see a win, get home, have the Yankee game on, not in and out of sleep. So I got to see both. Both. Now, some took it personally that I said maybe the Met fans, the Met owners care more about the team than the Yankees. I mean, a troll here from time to time is not a big deal. The thing I did say that was truthful is for the Sunday game versus the Marlins, everyone knew the forecast was going to be shady. How about pushing the game back to 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, instead of having your fans get there at 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning, and then get in the building and then just sit around with nothing to do except spend money in the concessions, which is what you wanted. You get that money. I'm happy Steve Cohen did it. And remember, early in his tenure, he had issues with this. Fans were at games two and a half hours, 3 hours, and then the game was postponed. So you're there, whether it's raining or it's cold, spending money, and you see nothing. You paid for parking, you paid for all this stuff, and you see nothing. So I'm glad he did what he did. It doesn't mean we're soft. Doesn't mean Mets fans are soft. Doesn't mean any of that. I'm glad he did that. And he did it for the game versus David Peterson later on today for the D-backs as well, 4-10. Which is good because you get to see both games as well, especially in the line of business that we're in here at WFAN. Don't have to watch it on DVR. You can watch the Met game, then get home, watch the Yankee game. It works out, especially with no Knick game later on. It's perfect. I enjoyed it. Freezing, but I enjoyed the Mets won. And I had no problem with Steve Cohen doing it. And I wish not only the Mets, I wish other teams would do that for their fans. It's going to rain from 1 to 4. So why not say, you know what, the forecast says this. We're going to push this game back a little bit. And if it doesn't work out for you, here's a voucher. Or you can trade in those tickets as well for a future game. People spend their hard-earned money for these tickets. So why not do the fans a favor and look out for the fans? I had no problem, whether it was Steve Cohen, whether it's Hal Steinbrenner, whether it's the owners of the Marlins, the White Sox, you name them. Do the right thing by the fans. The fans have always been there for you. Well, not the Marlins. They got 13 fans there. But do the right thing for the fans who spend their hard-earned money. Why not look out for them and push the game back a couple hours? And if they can't make it, give them the option to pick a game down the road. I prefer that than trying to sell you tickets, not getting the money's worth on the secondary market, because who the hell's going to pay for D-backs, Mets, or even Yankees, A's in April on the secondary market? You're going to miss out on your money. So it worked out for both fan bases. Mets get a win in extra innings. Yankees get a comeback win versus Sacramento A's. And at the end of the day, whether it was 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 3 in the morning, 6 a.m., doesn't matter. Both teams walk away with wins. 888-808-1019. Your calls after the breakout. Intro on the Fan. Back after this.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.